Thank you again for having us.
Well,
it's April already in Columbus, and appreciate this week.
Sure.
But at least for this show, I think the big news that's happened since we talked about a month ago was the approval of the IU Architecture Columbus School. It's a Master's of Architecture degree, and you've really been hoping that that was going to pass, and I'm guessing that you're pretty happy
we're thrilled. We're really excited. I mean, this is, you know, Columbus has had a pretty rich architectural heritage, and this just sort of the latest icing on the cake, if you will, where, you know, a nationally or internationally ranked institution is going to come here and create a school that will result in an architectural degree. And so, you know, we're real excited to be able to show off the city in that way.
Yeah. So what happens now in this process?
Well, there are several things that will go on. I mean, you could say that the hard work now starts, I mean, in terms of trying to make all this happen. But the focal point will be towards the program will start in the fall of 18. I don't know if it'd be August, September, or somewhere along in through there. We anticipate having that here, as I said before, in Columbus. We will have students and faculty here. Initially, the first year, we don't expect it to be a great big splash. I mean, you know, it could be 20 students, but we think over time we'll have several hundred students here. And so, you know, part of what has to happen between now and then is faculty. Students need to be recruited. They need to know that this option exists. The university needs to find a location. I'm told from, you know, some of the contacts I have there that they could probably handle the first year in the facilities that they have. But everybody understands that that's not a long-term solution. So we've got some representatives from the university who have been to Columbus and seen, you know, taken a look at some places, seen a few places, and then have some more trips, you know, planned. So, you know, we're hopeful that this activity will be located downtown. You know, we really want the IU flag downtown, and we want the foot traffic, you know, the economic activity associated with this to also be downtown. So we're hopeful, you know, that can come to pass.
Just to backtrack too, just a little bit, you gave your State of the City address early in the morning. You even served breakfast.
We did.
At the Donner Center. Any big announcements that happened there?
Well, you know, number one, we were just trying to do something a little bit different. I mean, you know, we probably, I don't know, you said I was the 37th mayor, or somebody did earlier today, so there have been State of the City addresses for quite some time, and you're just trying to keep the whole activity a little fresh, and we couldn't recall that anybody had ever gotten the community together for breakfast. We thought it would be a good opportunity to introduce a few of our firefighters, you know, so we invited them to come cook breakfast for the group, and it was a real firehouse lunch, or firehouse breakfast, and we had sausage and biscuits and gravy, and it was tasty, you know, it really was. And we had 225 people, you know, who attended at 7:30 in the morning, so I thought that was a pretty good crowd. And part of what we wanted to do there was to showcase Donner Center. Donner Center is one of the oldest facilities that the City of Columbus has. You know, the building itself dates from 1947, and in many respects, it's just pretty tired. You know, we've got a lot of equipment inside the building that doesn't work. We've got ADA, you know, non-compliance everywhere. I mean, and you know, you got to understand that's a little more than just a phrase. You know, if you're in a wheelchair or if you're somehow mobility limited, it can be very difficult for you to use the restrooms at Donner Center. And so we want our facilities to be open to all, just because it's in large part because it's the right thing to do. So I wanted people from the community to see that, because you know, I belong to a service club named Rotary, and we have our meetings there every Monday, but I walk in the front door, I go, you know, into the room where the meeting's held, and then I leave. And I typically don't get around the facility, and so we wanted the community to do that. And I felt like it was pretty successful. We gave everybody an opportunity to tour the place as they had time, and see for themselves, you know, the shape that the building is in. And I think most folks came away with a renewed understanding of the fact that we need to do a little bit of something there. To try to have a building that's a little bit more reflective of 2017 and not 1947, which is, you know, when it was built. We talked a little bit about you know, some of the initiatives that we've got going on. We gave everybody an update on our train situation, or at least where we are today, and we talked a little bit about I guess what you might call public discourse. You know, since November, we've had an increasing number of incidents where, you know, people have reported to us that you know, they've been treated unkindly in some of the big parking lots or on some of the highways or streetways, you know, in Columbus, you know, pretty much on account of their color or their perceived culture or religion. And I wanted to make it clear that in Columbus, that's not what we're about. You know, that not only is it the right thing to do to behave and treat other people as you would like to be treated, but it also makes good economic sense. Our economy here has done pretty well, and a large part of that is due to the immigration that we've had over the last 10 to 20 years. So one needs to think about that on a couple different levels. Like I say, it's just the right thing to do. You know, you don't want to make people feel uncomfortable simply because of the color of their skin or the religion or the culture that they come from. And at the same time, you know, you don't get too far away from the fact that it's good business. So so I wanted to make that comment, make that statement, and I thought it was pretty well received.
You know, I read in the Republic where immigration attorneys still providing assurance to immigrants about their status, you know, in the U.S., of course, here in Columbus. And we talked about that with Cummins, too, a little while ago. But does the city offer any assistance in that regard?
No, it's really a little bit outside of our ability to provide. But there are several companies here in town, particularly the ones that have a high percentage of their workforce as immigrants, that provide immigration attorneys or access to them. And so I think that those folks are being served. And part of the, you know, I went to a, there was an event at the Commons last week, sponsored by LHP, which hires a number of Chinese and Indian engineers. And, you know, part of the message that came through was that there's a lot of chatter, but it's a little difficult sometimes to tell what's really going to happen. And so before people get too excited and get too concerned, they need to double check to make sure that they're getting the straight story. Because even with the some of the bills that have been introduced in Congress, you know, many of those have a poor chance of being enacted. So before you react, you need to confirm your facts.
Another major talking point that I know we'll be talking a lot too, you mentioned the railroad tracks.
Right.
Anything new developing on that matter?
No, we Dave Hayward, our city engineer, and I attended a meeting in Seymour last week, and we were told that decisions about this, about our project and others, will be made in late April. That the group that funds those wants to wait until after the legislature has adjourned so that they know how much money that they've got to deal with. And so so we'll just wait here for about a month, and we'll know when we know.
Right. I see the city is planning on April 24th a neighborhood meeting to discuss several projects. What's that about?
Well, on the 24th, I'd have to go check my calendar.
Yeah.
We have a town hall meeting coming up for District 2, and I just can't recall off the top of my head whether it conforms with that date. But yeah, we would like to be able to provide in that meeting an update to residents on several of the projects. Among the ones that we might talk about are the State Street Bridge project, the State Street expansion that we talked about earlier with respect to the City Council meeting tonight, and then we'll talk about the riverfront, which probably a second subject for us, but there'll be a public meeting on that tomorrow evening. And we can talk a little bit about drugs and opioids and the response that we've put together to try to address that issue.
Well, and I just saw today that there's a report, too, that some crime has gone down in Columbus. Was it this past year or
yeah,
so?
Yeah, 2016 was a pretty good year for us. You know, we track crime two ways, two statistics. One's violent crime, the other one's property crime. Violent crime is crime against you, your person. And Columbus continues to be a pretty safe place for you. You know, our violent crime or personal crime rate is about a fourth of the national average. So pretty safe place. Property, though, property crime is a little higher than what we would like it to be. And even though the property crime declined in 2016, we're still about 75% higher than the national average. So we know we've got some work to do there. We think a lot of it has to do with the heroin or the substance abuse issues that we deal with in this community. So maybe if we can solve one problem, you know, we can solve two, you know, at the same time.
So of course this airs on a Wednesday, so the meeting will be over, but there's a city council meeting tonight, Tuesday.
Yes.
And one of the main topics is the State Street
Correct.
Renovations. Correct. Not so much more what you're doing now, but what you're planning for the future.
Correct. The current project is to add bicycle and pedestrian lanes to the existing State Street Bridge. You know, that bridge will be widened and striped a little differently, and we'll have like a six foot wide path on the south side of the bridge, and a 10-foot wide path on the north side of the bridge. And on the north side, that's designed to accommodate pedestrians and bicycles at the same time. What this current proposal, the one we'll consider Tuesday evening, is designed to do is to extend the beautification project and the lanes that I just talked about further east, down towards the area of the Mapleton stoplight. I mean, if you're familiar with State Street and Mapleton Street intersection, there's a stoplight there, and we would go to about that location. It'll be a little bit different on the south side than on the north, but the whole idea is to extend what we've done on the State Street Bridge further east. And you know, part of what we talk about is that, you know, Columbus has spent a fair amount of money down through the years in terms of its community and its community identity, and a good portion of that money was spent out on the west side of town at the I-65 interchange, and then coming into town culminates with the Stewart Bridge, you know, over the White River. Not a whole lot of money during that period of time got spent on the east side of town, and so what we're trying to do is to carry a little bit of that that look, if you will, that we have in Columbus out towards that part of town. Plus, you got to remember, that's now the main entry point into Columbus from the east. So if you come here from Cincinnati, you're most state highway signs will direct you up State Street. And so, you know, what's the first thing that you're going to see, you know, when you come into Columbus? And we want people to understand that this is a different community. We call ourselves unexpected and unforgettable, and we want that to be for the right reasons. You know, so as you approach the downtown area, you'll begin to see that things change a little bit, and yeah, we're worthy of the acclaim that we've received.
Just off the top of my head now, it seems like there are at least two, maybe three opportunities for people to have type of meetings or public forums about the riverfront, and then you had one about railroad and more about neighborhood. So are you seeing an uptick in public engagement?
Well, I would say that the public engagement is about the same as it has been. We maybe have a few more opportunities, but yeah, and the next one will be, you mentioned the city council meeting is going to be Tuesday evening. Wednesday evening we will have a public forum here to discuss the riverfront. And, you know, sometimes we call it the riverfront, sometimes we call it the land between the bridges, but just to try to determine what the public thinks about the, you know, the opportunities to improve that area.
You know, we've been hearing about terrorism attacks using cyber, the internet, to shut down cities and countries. So it was interesting to come across the news report where the city is purchasing cybersecurity insurance. I've never heard that before. How does that work?
Well, hopefully you never use it. I mean, that's we hope that's the way it works. But the whole idea is that we may experience a loss of data, and you can't necessarily replace the insurance won't replace the data, but it will pay for the effort that goes to replacing the data. We would hope that we would never divulge any confidential information, but we've got 425 or so full-time equivalent employees. We've got maybe 100 part-timers, you know, lifeguards and whatnot that come in during the summer. And so we've got payroll information for a great number of people. And we do all, you know, all our payments are through automatic deposit or electronic payment deposit methods. And so you'd hate for some of that information to get outside the city. And when that happens, you know, I've known it's happened to me a couple times. Typically, the agency that's affected will pay for some kind of credit monitoring for a couple of years. And in anticipation that we may, you know, sometimes get caught with that, we've now got some insurance that will help fund those payments for us.
Is this common? Is this something that someone came across and said, hey, this is a good idea?
Well, part of what you're trying to do, I mean, we have a risk manager whose job it is to try to identify, you know, all the appropriate risks that that we have. And his primary role, really, is to determine what the city can do on its own to mitigate those risks. I mean, either through safety training, if it's a work comp type issue, or here, I mean, to review the firewalls and the data security programs, protocols, you know, that we have. At the end of the day, you know, you're also trying to identify where the large ticket items are. And And so our risk manager came to us and said that they thought that this was something worth looking into. And when we looked at the premium, it didn't seem to be that out of line to the amount of coverage. So we went ahead with it.
There's a report out that there are, was it bald eagles nesting right pretty close to downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Is that drawing a lot of people?
Well, we haven't noticed any uptick in tourism. Yeah. And frankly, we would hope that the people would leave the eagles be. I mean, you know, observe them from a distance if you really want to. But it is kind of neat. You know, they're probably, they're inside the city limits as it works out. One of the advantages that Columbus has is we've got a lot of rivers, you know, nearby, or waterways, perhaps is a better way to express it. And eagles like to fish. So we were looking for, or scouting for, you know, a place where we could do a little bit of cleanup along one of our waterways, and noticed this humongous nest up in the tree. And lo and behold, there were some really big birds flying in and out of it. And with a telephoto lens, you could tell pretty quickly that's a bald eagle. So we spoke with the folks up in Hope at the Utopia Wildlife Reserve, and they indicate to us that, surprisingly, eagles' nests are not uncommon in Columbus. In Columbus and the nearby community, we've got three or four of those. Eagles will build these. They won't necessarily live in them every year, so they might have, maybe they've got a vacation home, you know, across on the other side of town. But they will have multiple nests and, you know, switch back and forth from year to year depending upon the way they find the environment. So nonetheless, you know, I sort of find it encouraging that we've got wildlife that is coming a little bit closer to us. I guess it means we're having a little softer footprint, you know, in terms of our human activity. So I took that as a good sign.